We are in a series that we've titled Mission from God. One of the things that we've been looking at in this series, when you consider your lives and understand, the more you understand Scripture, the more you realize this, is that God has called you and selected you. Your life is a mission, on mission with God. In fact, your life, Jesus calls us to a holy life, a life that belongs completely to God. That's the question. How would your life look different if you were really, truly on mission from God? How would your life look different if you considered your life to be a holy thing, the pursuit of your life to be a holy thing? I want to look at a few things that we covered last week just to kind of give us a place to move from. So first of all, it shouldn't surprise us that God's mission in this world includes you. Whether you understand that completely or not, God's mission in this world, God's activity in this world includes you. And not just includes you. God's mission depends upon you. You play a critical part in fulfilling and filling God's mission in this world. And if God's mission includes you, then we also need to get this, and that is that God's mission through us is going to reflect God's love in us. So whatever God does through us is only going to be to the degree of God's love in us. You cannot fulfill God's mission on your terms. You cannot fulfill your mission or God's mission without God. It requires Him and His love. God's mission is about His love for people. And look, we can't communicate that love about God and His love for people without actually experiencing that love in ourselves. We also need to get this, that God's love is always expressed in sacrifice. All throughout Scripture, wherever you read it, God's love is always expressed in sacrifice. When God sent His Son, Jesus, to this world, it was a sacrifice on behalf of the Father to send His Son. It was Jesus' sacrifice that He would actually go to the cross and die on that cross for our sins. When you look through every disciple and you watch how they live their lives, what you understand is love. God's love always requires sacrifice, and we'll come back to this later on. Last week we talked about God's mission, and this is a mission that you have been chosen to participate in. Not elected by people, you were chosen by God Himself to participate in this mission. So we have to understand this, that God's mission is about reaching the lost. God's mission is about reaching the lost. And I just want to touch on this because we mentioned it last week. But Jesus gives a great commission, command or instruction for us as a group of people to carry out. Every single Christ follower has to carry out, is a part of this great commission. And here's what it says, that it is. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have to understand this, that God's commission that He sent us out on, that this mission that He has for us, instructs us and commands us to go, to search out the lost, to go to them, not wait for them to come to us, but to go to them. It also instructs us to make disciples, and a disciple is a follower of Jesus, to get them connected with Christ. It also talks about baptizing them. I don't know if you ever understand why baptism is so important. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. It's like having a wedding ring. I wear this wedding ring and it doesn't make me married. I wear this wedding ring because I'm already married in my heart. A decision that I made 28 years ago, this is the outward expression. That's what makes me married. It's the commitment I made. That's what baptism is. Another thing this mission instructs us to do is teach others to obey, which is leading people in a life of obedience. And if we're honest, I would guess, if we're honest, absolutely none of us in this room feel qualified or capable of carrying this out. And that's a good thing. That's why this last part of what Jesus instructs in this great commission is so important. God's mission reminds us that Jesus is with you always. Jesus is always with you. And what that means is this. You can't do this on your own. You cannot carry out the Great Commission on your own. In fact, I would tell you this. If you think that you can carry out the Great Commission, you're not living God's mission. If you think that you can do this on your own, in your own strength, in your own smarts, in your own intelligence, then you are not, because the mission requires that we live dependently on God. Every single one of us, every Christ follower should be doing this. This mission from God. It's every church should be doing this, because the church is about people, not buildings. So how we accomplish this mission, we've got, every church shares the same mission, and that is for us to go and make disciples. It's about reaching the lost. That is every church. Now, how every church lives this out is unique to each church, and what makes that unique is our vision. Our vision is different than the bridge. Our vision is different than All Saints Community across the street. We all three have the same mission, but we're unique. I don't know if you realize this. I'm sure that you do, but there's a big difference between McDonald's and In-N-Out. And I'm not talking about just the quality of the hamburger. There's a big difference in the quality of service. There's a big difference in the quality of what's going on there. In fact, they do have a better product, but they're a better product because of their unique vision. They don't have the same vision as McDonald's does. When it comes to a vision that all of us have, that as a church, I think there are two important questions that we have to ask. And the first question that we have to ask is this: why does the Quest exist? Every one of us should know the answer to that. If you are in leadership, you know the answer to this because we've gone over it and over it and over it. But if you're not in leadership, you still should know this, because this is a vision that we all live out. And this question, why does the Quest exist? We have to understand we exist to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. We exist to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. It's not in your notes, but we need to be reminded that the Quest is about people. It's not about a building. It's not about a location. It's about us. So our vision is about our actions. And what's even more important is this is not a vision that we just carry out on Sunday. This is a vision we carry out throughout the week. And if we're going to carry it out throughout the week, then that means that it has to be something that every one of us are living out in our lives. So we've got to understand not just what is the vision, because this is a church we attend. If you said, hey, man, Dave, you know what? I'm sick of you, and I'm going to the bridge. I'd say, see you later, okay? Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, right? So you make your way. Sorry, that's not offensive. Okay, so if you made your way and you said, I'm going down to the bridge, and you found yourself at the bridge. At the bridge, they have a vision. And the pastor there is going to say, listen, this is our vision, and we live it every single day. And you go, what? That's what Dave told me. I don't want to do that. So you go, I'm going to go to People's Church. Dale Oquist, People's Church. And he's going to tell you the exact same thing, because every church functions off of a vision. And it's important that we're all unique. We understand what our vision is as a church. Creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. I want to unpack this for just a moment. First of all, the word creatively is intentionally used. The vision requires creativity. God's vision for this church requires creativity. Reaching the lost is more than a cookie-cutter approach or a cookie-cutter response to people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. Everyone is different. And the right response is creative compassion for people. That means we have to be innovative, out-of-the-box thinking. That means we have to be imaginative. We have to have ideas that are thought-provoking. We have to be intentional and not just go through the motions when we are communicating with people about this message of God's love for them and how God wants to be connected to them. Jesus instructed us to be creative. And not only did he instruct us to be creative, but we see it all through Scripture, even with the Apostle Paul and how he did ministry. See, first of all, I've always felt like if Paul the Apostle did church, he would do it just like the Quest, because it's how he wrote the gospel. It's how he wrote his letters in the New Testament. And let me read this for you, because it's found in 1 Corinthians 9, but it says this. Paul writes, "Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralist, loose-living immoralist." We know a lot of those, right? "The defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life, he says. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and I tried to experience things from their point of view. And I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. And I did all this because of the message. I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. If you read the New Living Translation, it says, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. That's the question. Listen, if you are not living out this mission in a creative way, you are not going to be searching out a creative response to people that are disconnected from God. You're going to just be in your own world. You're just going to be doing your own thing. It requires creativity. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. That is the question. If we are searching out a way to connect with the lost, if we're searching out an opportunity to reach the lost, is it on our terms? Are we making the gospel about us? You know, I don't know if you know this, but you know who loves those scriptures that I just read to you about reaching the lost? You know who loves those scriptures? Parents whose kids are lost. People who have friends that are lost. People who know and they have family members that are lost and disconnected. And again, we talked about this last week. Lost is not about a location, it's about affiliation. You're not lost because you're in the mountains and we're here in Fresno. You're lost because who you are affiliated with. You're either affiliated with Jesus or you're not. And if you're not affiliated with Jesus, you don't have a relationship, you're lost. And that's what Paul's saying. Anyone who is lost, we have to search out. I'm not going to go into last week's talk, but man, if you weren't here, it's important to hear that. It's an important message. I would say that creativity is required to reach the lost. Because when we remove creativity, we stop looking for ways to effectively reach people. We stop looking for ways to connect with them, and we expect them to come to us. If I can just shoot straight, there's a lot of you that have been with us since we were at Clovis High School. And when we first started like 14 years ago, one of the things that we understood is that we were the church and we were inviting people all the time. We didn't have a church. We were in this place where we needed to grow. We wanted to see people come into the kingdom. We wanted to see people come into relationship with Jesus. And people, we would always invite our friends. And something happens when we get into a building that we all of a sudden feel like, hey, we've arrived. We have our own place. So now we'll just set up a banner and they can come. We stopped being creative. We stopped looking for ways to connect with people, and we expected them to come looking for us. Listen, I will tell you this. That does not reflect the mission of God. That does not. And so what does this mean? Everything short of sin is on the table. Any way that we can reach lost people except sinning, we're going to try. We want to connect with lost people. That's why we try to do cover songs. Is so we can connect with lost people when they show up. People that are disconnected. People, last week, there's somebody that came to church here. They haven't been to church in, I don't know when they've last time. He told the person that invited him, I can't go to church because the roof will cave in. Not only did the roof not cave in, they really liked it. Why did they like it? Because we try to put in extra thought into the music that we use and the type of music that we use. We try to put in extra thought and creativity to connect with people that aren't connected to God. So that's why we use slogans like, consider us your happy hour. You know who doesn't like those kind of slogans? People that go to People's Church. I mean, I love People's Church. I do. Love People's Church. But they would, you know, that would kind of piss them off. And Delicus is a great guy, and he would never use that kind of language either. Here's the deal. We use it because we really want to connect with people that would not fit in People's Church. And it doesn't mean that they're bad. They're a great church. And you know what? I'll tell you this, just off the record, I love People's Church. About every 3 months, I get a card from Deliquis, or I get a call from somebody at People's Church that knows us. And they'll say, you know what? Our church, we stopped. They do this every week. Every week, they pray for a church in this area. and they pray for us at least once a quarter. I'm talking about in the gathering, they stop and they mention the quest and they pray for us as a church. That is a great thing. So when I say, you know what, People's Church wouldn't do that, that's not an indictment on them. They are a great church, but we are unique to what God has called us to be. So we use slogans like, consider us your happy hour. We use slogans like, we're not your grandma's church, but you can invite her. But we're always looking for ways to reach the lost. We also need to be creative in how we love people. In fact, the vision that God's given us demands love. It's not just a good idea. We can't carry out God's vision. It demands love. Because God's mission, God's vision is about loving people. So we have to line up with His standard of love, not our standard. This is not, look at, I can love people with my own, I can generate love. But at some point, it's going to grow, it's going to die off. Because you know what? My love, I need God's love in me in order to love effectively like God loves. And so how does God love? You know the scripture, but I'm going to read it for you. 1 Corinthians 13, this is how God loves, and this is how God asks us to love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. A lot of you need to hear that last part. Love is not rude, so don't be rude, okay? It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Let me back up. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That is God's love. And that's how God asks us to love people that are lost. Here's the thing. You can write this on your notes, but love will call us to give up what is important to us for what benefits others. Love will always, if I mentioned this earlier, love is going to always be sacrificial. God's love is always sacrificial. So love will call us to give up what is important to us for what benefits others. This church is not about us. One of the things that I think Nick's going to make an announcement about it in the video later on, but we have new connection cards. And you know, some of the, we did this connection card, you know, we want you to invite unchurched people, not church people. So I use a statement on the card that some people find offensive. It's not about us. We can't offend. If you're going to choose to be offended, then you're going to be offended by a lot of things. But you know what? We choose to speak the language of people that are disconnected because that's who we're trying to reach. If we say, hey, come and worship with us, people that don't have relationship with Jesus, they don't understand what worship is, and they're going to be like, why in the world do I want to go worship? See, if we get so used to speaking Christianese that we can't even communicate with somebody who's disconnected. We have grown so we don't understand, and we've lost all kinds of creativity in reaching them. So before you leave today, make sure you pick out a card. Make sure they're on the table. Take a stack of cards so that you can invite friends. Don't be offended by it. I think your friends will like it. They'll laugh at it. Here's another thing. The vision inspires us to lead, to be an example, to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus is what it says. So we make ourselves available to help others discover the way. We make ourselves available to show people the way, to provide an example for others to follow. And Paul said it this way. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Can you do that? That's what God's calling us to do, to lead people. Can you say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ? Paul also says, you paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Man, those are heavy words. When you think about that, people need an example to follow. And we would love to say, hey, don't look at me. I'm not perfect. You follow Jesus. I'm going to let you down. Paul says, you and I have to be an example. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean that we're providing an example of leading people. People are always watching. And you can write this on your notes, but it says, we can't lead others where we're not willing to go. You can't lead anyone where you yourself are not willing to go. So if you're trying to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus, you can't say, hey, it's over there. Hey, I think it's a good idea. You should do it. You have to be modeling it to be leading it. Let me ask you this. If someone were imitating you, I want you to pay attention to this part. Not that you're not paying attention. If someone were imitating you in your life, would they be in a growing relationship with Jesus? If they were doing what you do, would they be in a growing relationship with Jesus? Let me ask you this. If someone were imitating your life, how often would they be in church? If someone were imitating your life, would they come early so that they could talk and hang out there, or so that they could come and talk to God and hear? Because I know we have a friendly church, and it's great, but it seems like people are much more interested in talking out there than they are about talking to God in here. Let me ask you another. If someone were imitating your life, would they be attending a connection group? Because we say, hey, straight up, you want to be in a growing relationship, connection group is a place to discover it. That's where you discover friendships that are going to point you in that direction. They're going to support you and encourage you. I mean, we push connection groups because they are so critically important to what God has called us to do and to be. And we're going to look at that in the coming weeks. But as we look at that, we aren't leading anyone in what we're not doing ourselves. I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, hey, you know what? You're pitiful. That's all I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is this. God's given you a vision. And that vision is about you modeling for other people what God has called us as a church to be. We, none of us, can take that lightly. We cannot say, you know what? I love the friendships. But that whole mission thing, nah, that's not for me. You can't leave it out because the relationships are a part of the mission, but they're only a small part. So we ask the question, why does the quest exist? We've all got to know that answer. In fact, I'm going to say this, memorize it this week. Talk about it in connection groups. Creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That's what we're about. But I would say that another question that we got to ask, and that might even be more important, not why does the quest exist, but why should the quest exist? Because if the quest stopped existing, would anybody even notice? Why should the quest exist? I'll tell you this, the answer to that question will tell us how effectively you and I are carrying out this vision. If we say, hey, the quest should exist because I've got great friends there, that's not enough. I'm telling you, that's not enough. The quest should exist because, you know, I enjoy going there when I go to church once a month. That's not enough. If we ever exist just for each other, if we try to create an environment that we enjoy, if we try to create an environment that we feel comfortable in, then we're not living out the heart and mission that God has called us to. And we might as well close the doors. Seriously. Serious as a heart attack. I'm not saying that to scare anybody. That's not why I'm using it. But I would say it that strongly because this next point is so true that you have to write down. God will not bless a compromised mission. God will not bless a compromised mission. If we exist for each other, if we exist, do we want the church to be about ourselves? If we try to create this climate where, hey, it's just we want to enjoy this. And we don't care about other people outside these walls. We don't care about our neighbors. We don't care about our family. We don't care about our friends. We don't care about this city. We don't care about the gang violence. We don't care about what's going on in the neighborhood around us. We don't care because what's really important is that we enjoy it. If that becomes our viewpoint, we might as well close the doors. I'm telling you, think about how you would behave differently. If you and I were spending more time thinking of ways to be creative and to love and lead people in this growing relationship with Jesus, how would our lives be different? How would our church be different if we spent more time creatively thinking about ways to love and lead people? I'm telling you, the stakes are high. Why is this so critical? Three statements Jesus makes, and trust me, he makes a lot more. I just chose these three. Why is this so important? Jesus said this, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, and anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned." Get that? People that are disconnected, people that are lost, are condemned. They're lost. They do not have relationship. Let me read another one, John 3:36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Let me read John 10:10. "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy," Jesus says. "My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness." There's nothing that God cannot heal. And God wants people to experience His life. We can't get in the way of that. In fact, we've got to facilitate that as best we can. We want to see people go to heaven. But without a personal relationship with Jesus, that absolutely can't happen. Can I just please put this in your hearts? Can you please just hear me? Because I say it with great compassion and great love. You have family, you have friends, you have neighbors, you have people in your life that are disconnected from God, that do not have relationship. And Jesus is saying, look it, I've done everything for them. I just need someone to be my mouthpiece. We talked about that last week. Your words communicate God's message. I'm going to read a scripture after we get back from worship that I don't want you to take as an indictment. I don't want you to take it as this heavy thing. I want you to hear it from the heart of compassion, but it should change the way we look at people and our creativity with people. And it should change the way why we have relationships with others. Because it calls us to run with a vision. Here's the issue. We love people because God loves people. Our love has to be sacrificial, and we sacrifice what we want for what others need, because that's what Jesus modeled for us. We have compassion because people are hurting. Marriages that we know of are falling apart. Families are imploding. People are living life without meaning and without purpose. They are filling the void in their lives with something. And why are the stakes so high for us? We've got to understand this, because time is short and eternity is long. Why is this so important? Because you know what? This includes your family. This includes your friends. It includes your neighbors, the people that we love. Time is short and eternity is long. What would keep us from doing all that we could to creatively love and lead people in this growing relationship, understanding how long eternity is? God loves these people that we love, and He wants relationship with them. Another reason why stakes are so high is because people are living without hope, and God is a God of hope. God has come to fill us with hope, and yet people are living empty, hopeless lives. Stakes are high because people and families are hurting and fearful. I would tell you this. We live in a world right now where, man, people don't like what's going on with our president. They don't like what's going on with our world. They don't like what's going on with a lot of things. There's a lot of anger that's going on. There's a lot of fear that's going on in our world. And we have this message that we're able to say, you know what? This isn't a political thing. We have the message that says, you know what? God said that this was going to happen, and we have absolutely no reason to fear. He's in charge of everything that goes on, and He wants to fill you with peace. And we can model this. The reason why I'm not fearful is because I have relationship with Jesus. I know He's in control. But I'm telling you, I'll just be straight up. There's a lot of Christians that are just as fearful as people that are lost. There's a lot of Christians that are just as angry about what's going on in our world as people that are lost. We're not modeling anything, at least nothing that they want. The stakes are high because our friends and family need an environment like The Quest. I have so many friends that go to church, and they said, man, I wish I lived in your area, Dave, because I would love to go to The Quest. And they say, you know what? I don't feel comfortable inviting my friends to our church. but I would love inviting them to the quest. Our friends need an environment where they are loved and accepted, where we speak as best we can at their level in their language. And the stakes are high because you have been given the mission, and it's up to you to run with it. God has given you the vision, and it's up to you to run with it. Listen to what it says in Romans. This is the verse I was speaking of a little while ago, and I just want you to hear it, not through what you have to do. I don't want you to hear it through a sense of responsibility. I want you to hear it through compassion. I want you to hear it as if this is being written about the person that you love that is lost right now. Okay? I want you to hear it from that perspective. Paul says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. Doesn't matter how bad of a life they've lived. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter what you've done in this room. Every single person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." The English version says, "How wonderful is the coming of messengers who bring good news." The beauty is in the people who take this to heart. The beauty of this is when we as a church, as God's, belonging to him, take his message to the people who need it. That doesn't happen unless we have compassion, unless we depend upon God. So here's the thing I want you to hear. As a church, I think that God has called us to prove that his love works in this world. And that only happens through you and me. God wants to prove to this world that love works. His love works. Not our love, his. And I believe that we are a perfect place for imperfect people. Because none of us in this room are perfect. None of us in this room have it all together. Truth is, people at People's Church don't have it all together. Nobody has it all together. In fact, if we think we have it all together, we've missed it. Just hear me. Here's what the Bible says. Your righteousness, you're feeling like you're all good and that you have it all together and that God loves you and everything, like you've got it all together. That's like filthy rags. None of us have it all together. So I want you to close your eyes. As we wrap this up, I want you to understand, first of all, this. God is for you. He wants to work through you. He's placed a vision within us to carry out and to live out. And you do not feel like you're capable, and he understands that. It doesn't excuse us for not living it out. He's saying this, you're not capable of doing this on your own. You need me. So every single day, we find ourselves in situations we say, God, how is it you want me to, what do you want me to do today? God, how do you want me to communicate your love? How do you want me to lead somebody in this relationship? How can I be creative with my neighbor or with my son or with my daughter? God, give me creativity in reaching people that you love. But before I get into this, I want to say this. I never want to miss an opportunity to give you this option and this opportunity that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus yourself, that you can begin that today. There's no magic fairy dust. There's nothing, no special words. It is you talking to God and saying, God, I give up and I want you to be in charge of my life. I want to have a relationship with you. I need a clean slate. I need a new beginning. I need to be forgiven for a lot of things that I've screwed up in my life. And I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to do my best to make my life about what's important to you. And if that's you, God is listening to you right now. There's nothing that you've done that God cannot forgive. There's nothing that you've experienced that God cannot heal. And he wants to. And then for the rest of us, that you might already have a relationship with Jesus, but I think this is a serious talk for us to get, that maybe we've made church about us. We just kind of made it about, we said this last week, the thing that should make us most uncomfortable is the empty chairs that are here that our friends could be sitting in had we invited them. The empty chairs that we have show that we don't take this vision seriously as we should. And maybe we need to say, God, I need to take this more serious, and I need your help. So I want to pray for you. Father, please help us to be a church that proves that your love works. Please help us to be the perfect place for imperfect people. Because of what you've done in our lives, we do not have it together. But Father, we know how to love. We know how to lead. You've given us the opportunities, and you could put people into our lives that we can effectively love and lead in a growing relationship with you. And we ask that you would help us to live that out. To not make our experience here about us. Father, I ask that you would break our heart for what breaks yours. And that we would look at people through your eyes. And Father, I just ask today, Father, help us today to be people that are willing to sacrifice what we want for what others need. And that is all about you. I thank you for every person here. I'm thankful for what you're going to do at the Quest and how you're going to help us to live this out. Father, we live dependently on you. We need you to help us in this area. So may we look to you every single day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.